Let me leave in love after love.
Let me get the panning off. It was very cool. Each of you were in a speaker, so it was very, very 1967 Beatles.
Awesome. Great.
Or Phil Spector, depending on who you respect or
don't respect. Really crazy deja vu. So weird. I feel like I've been here before.
You have. Just said that. But the drugs really made you forget. Mm-hmm. And we like it that way.
That's, yeah, on the way out, right?
Yeah, it's my method. It works. You just do what you can.
Lobotomize everybody as they walk out.
We see that we don't start official interviews any other way. We just leave it at this. You see, if you catch it in mid-conversation, it actually doesn't feel like an interview.
Right.
That's a groovy thing. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Nobody knows we did the session first, but they're not going to know because we can transport time.
Excellent.
Okay. Would you introduce yourselves, please? That was the official cut point that you would do if you were being a professional.
Okay.
However, we'll probably roll it from much earlier than this, just so we get that, you know, the Watson twins as they really are before they become, you know.
On air. In front of the viewers.
On air personas.
Exactly.
Well, I'll start. I'm Chandra.
And I'm Lee. And we have with us today Russ playing guitar.
Hi. Mr. Hello. Russ.
Hello,
Pollard.
Russ. Hi, it's a pleasure.
He gets a mister.
Yeah.
Mister is important.
Yeah.
So as I said off air, Lisa from your management company contacted me and said, you've got to hear this record. You've got to interview these women. Which is pretty nervy of her. So whatever happens
from... She's a ballsy lady.
So whatever happens from here is all her fault. We're blaming it on her.
She's responsible.
Now, you're not really on the big tour to promote the record yet. This is just a few West Coast gigs, am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do a full tour in the fall. So this is sort of just a preempt to, you know, getting summer started.
Do you mean preamble versus preempt? Because preempt would mean...
Yeah,
you know,
preamble, yes.
Preempt would mean you've eliminated yourself.
Pre-shamble.
We might do that, too. Yeah, the pre-shamble.
The pre-shamble,
yes.
There you go. I'm just having fun here. I would like to preempt myself on a regular basis, as would many other people. Okay, a little history. I have never heard Slidell. Did you play here a lot in San Francisco, and did I miss the boat?
We only did a couple shows, actually, in San Francisco, and we were mostly an L.A.-based band. And
right.
I think our downfall was never really getting out of L.A. And
we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, but we came up to San Francisco a couple times.
Yeah.
And the lead singer is a lawyer now. Does he represent you?
No.
You know, that's when rock and roll sends somebody into law, you know, and I'm not sure which would really be a more ridiculous career.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I guess it would be worse if he was a traffic cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that.
Cab driver.
But you know, you finally disbanded because you weren't getting enough people to notice was a quote that you used. But that's not the case this time. People are noticing big time.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like, I do feel like that life drives you into certain paths and certain people and you know, we just kind of let the path take us, and this is sort of where we've ended up. But I feel like it was that time through Slidell, like learning, we were backup vocalists, really honing our skill as backup vocalists and really focusing on the harmonies that have led us to this point now where we're able to sing our songs and compliment each other, and then also, you know, sing back up for other groups, which is great.
And a great segue. Give me a little glance, just a small little glance of your childhood, because we don't have that long. But in Kentucky, I read you were in a church choir. Your mom listened to a lot of great music that kind of got into your blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think we really got involved in church because we could sing there, and that was the only outlet we really had to be a part of, like, you know, 3 and 4 part harmonies and also just the community of singing with a group of people. And I think that's where it sort of developed.
Yeah. And once you kind of get that in your blood of singing with a group of people, it really is, there's something that's just really awe-inspiring about being able to hear these harmonies in your head and make them happen in real life is pretty amazing.
Wow, I'm just a moment of silence there for the religious aspect. That was a religious moment in truth. We're not going to spend any time in this interview trying to categorize your music. We've got something we do at the end that will help everybody figure out who you are. It's our little trick. But one word comes to mind, which is timeless. That's the word that, as I was listening to the record, I just said, you know, this could have been made in 1957, and this could have been made in 2007.
Well, thank you.
I think that's sort of, I mean, the songs sort of speak for themselves, but they're all storytelling songs, and I think that's something that continues, you know, through generations. It's like from the beginning of time, that's what songs were about, telling stories, and that's sort of where we, I think, our strength lies in doing that. And also just the warm, you know, we want to create a sound that's warm and also is accessible, because I think that's kind of who we are,
yeah,
as people.
Yeah, and we kind of took, you know, elements from all the different types of music that we like and sort of let them come out on this EP. And we weren't really focused on, okay, we're going to make an indie record or a rock record
or a country record.
You know, it was like we really just said, you know, okay, this song feels like it's going to kind of lean towards in a more jazzy way or whatever. Like, we weren't scared of being labeled, you know, so... Or not being able to be labeled, we were kind of into that. We were like, let's just play what makes us happy, and it's working so far.
If I could interject.
Yeah.
The girls write such good songs. They're such strong songwriters that it was really fun to get in there with some old gear.
And yeah, Russ produced the
We're going to get there. We're going to talk gear. I'm a gear guy. We're going to go there. But, you know, you talk about a great segue, because the second part of the question was, are reviewers already beginning to put you, and I've already read a lot of reviews, put you in that infamous, and I'm saying this verbally, not physically, but, you know, in that box, you know, well, it sounds like alt country from da-da-da-da. So are you ready for all of that? I mean, it's already happened quite a bit. You were very good about what you've already placed on your site as reviews, but you know what the next step is going to be,
yeah,
right? Is they're going to go out of their way
to try and categorize it.
To do everything that you've tried not to do, and quote, help you along.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think, you know, with the new songs that we've been writing, because we're actually getting ready to go into the studio again in just a few weeks and start working on the full-length record. And I feel like that record whatever happens with that record will sort of establish us in some genres. But I feel like we'll continue to. I think the trick to... having a long career and being appreciated is to, you know, keep the essence of who you are, but allow, you know, your influences and your wisdom and your age show through with every song and every record that you make. So hopefully we'll continue to grow, and I hope that we never get stuck in a category or a genre. But
I think that's a lot of people have, like, you know, it's the age-old question, so what kind of music do you play, you know? And it's so hard to,
and you're
going to
answer that for us at the end of the interview.
and I get asked that all the time too. It's kind of like, well, how do you figure out what you play? And I say three words: I like it. You know, I've gotten to a point where, you know, it's like, well, what kind of rock and roll, well, do you play folk, do you play all, yes, you,
yeah,
know,
all of the above.
So maybe that's the answer you should just give people. Just say, yeah, you know, and leave it at that.
Somebody once asked me what our music sounded like, and I said, pink flowers and fluffy bunnies, you know. So that's, you know,
aww,
we'll just leave it at that.
Collective.
Aww.
That was so fluffy. It was warm in here at first, but now we're all just schwitzing.
It's
just, I had the pleasure of having Ms. Rilo and Ms. Kylie, Ms. Lewis on,
yeah,
the show probably during their last release, mm-hmm, and before she did the solo with you. It must have been lovely, you know, for you to sing back up on that record, because she's just,
yeah,
really, you know.
We had an amazing year. We got to travel all over the world playing those songs, and the record is just, it's such a great piece of music in its entirety. Every song is great, and I think that, you know, it's definitely molded us and also helped us become better performers and
yeah,
just... You know, the experience.
We played a lot of shows.
It was really great. And Lewis is awesome and a great friend. And, you know, we've had a good experience from it. We all get a little teary eyed when we have our breakfast club. We have breakfast club together, which we all.
Here
go
we
have
go
breakfast.
Again. This is the friendliest interview I've ever done. Oh my gosh, golly jeepers. What are we going to do here? I know how we can turn it around.
Let's talk evil.
You see, you had to wait to just question number 10. You were only two questions ahead, Russ.
No, you didn't.
No, I have proof you didn't. The record was done the old-fashioned way, pretty much as an analog, and it sounds... So tell me a little something from the sessions, because, you know, analog is the trendy thing to do,
mm-hmm,
but more so, you know, I think the reason you did it the way you did it is because it applied to the music.
Yeah.
It was the right sound for the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody tell me something, you know, because you went analog and because we live in a digital world, was there something interesting that happened along the way as you were recording this that you finally, you said, I wish we had, well, you obviously probably had enough tracks because you can bounce, you know, bounce to all Get Out these mm-hmm. days. But was there anything interesting that happened as a result of the methodology that you chose?
Oh, there were several things that happened that were that were funny. I don't know if it had to do with the gear more than it did with our personalities and our different varying degrees of knowledge about how to use the stuff.
Well, that was another thing that I did read, is that this was, not that it was experimental, but that as you were going along, you learned what was possible.
Totally.
And that added to the, I don't want to say freshness of the record, although I just said that, but you know, but there's only so many words you can use. It added up for what the record ended up sounding like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's, you know, that sort of that warmth that you get from analog, and also those happy mistakes that happen that you, you know, maybe are possible in, you know, a digital world, but when you're working with tape, it's like you really have to, you have to, you know, take care of it, and it's a precious piece of material that's not backed up anywhere, and that, you know, it's definitely like a sacred sort of experience. And
you have to, I mean, I think it forced us to really make choices on the parts that we liked, because you don't have this option to do, you know, 20 parts and comp them together, and like, you know, it's just so much, it's a commitment, you know. And you say when you're in the studio, like, okay, I think that's the lead vocal take, I think that's it, and we're gonna go with it, and we're gonna build everything else on it. And so you have to make those decisions kind of.
And there's no adjusting pitch, and you know, taking
a
chorus.
We made a lot of commitments. Yeah. We printed a lot of, you know, the way the girls sounded as it was happening, without having that option of going back and adding a plug-in on Pro Tools. You know?
So. And you were really lucky, and I'll tell you, I'm only going to spend 30 seconds, but I heard two stories in the past month that blew me away. One was Graham Parker, who was on the show. Actually, I interviewed him at South by Southwest, where I last saw the two of you perform. Mm-hmm. I was the guy in the back going, woo! I'm always that guy. No, I'm not. I'm never that guy. The guy that's like, why aren't you dancing? You're a music guy. Why aren't you? Because I'm sorry. Leave me alone. Uh-huh. But Graham Parker told the story that on one of his first records, they recorded it. And then when they went to master it, the oxide came off the tape for the entire album.
Oh my God.
He had to re-record the entire record from scratch.
Wow.
The other one that I just learned 2 weeks ago, Rhino just re-released all the Doors albums. Uh-huh. Light My Fire. Every time you've heard Light My Fire on the radio or had a record of that, it was slow. When they mastered it, when they made the dub of the master, it was slow, and Elektra Records discovered that last year.
Oh, wow.
They went back to the original tapes to remaster it, and they remastered the album, so now you hear Light My Fire an octave higher.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's
so 1967, crazy. Everybody was listening to that original session slow.
Well,
so are the karaoke versions, are they slow too then? So I guess
probably.
We've all been singing it in the wrong
probably.
Key for years.
Probably. I see you're doing a benefit for one of the people that I do a lot of work with here, although we do the San Francisco 826 Valencia.
Yeah.
So, you know, will you be funnier than Patton Oswalt? You think you're going to be able to?
I doubt it.
But all kidding aside, was it the whole Largo crowd? How did you hook up, you know, my audience knows about what goes on at, you know, a lot of the other locations in the world, because we do talk to a lot of artists that play Largo and the Bowery Ball, you know, all of that.
Right.
So we try not to pretend we're just in San Francisco. We try to be worldly, because people do actually go to other places to see people. But that's how did you hook up with that whole crowd? Because that's a very literary, very upscale. You're going to have
to, you know, I think,
mind your P's and Q's when you sing for that
exactly.
crowd.
I think actually 826 contacted our manager, but I just found out we were hanging out with Jenny the other day, and she's like, oh yeah, I did a show with them. So I think maybe through the Jenny connection, they got turned on to our solo stuff, and we actually haven't played at Largo before, so I've been to a show there, and it's a really fun place to play. So
you'll be instantly trendy the second you hit Largo.
Man.
You are the trendy trendoid, right?
We love, you know, McSweeney's and The Believer and everything that David Eggers and
they're maniacs.
Yeah,
I've awesome. In my other life, I've taught some writing at 826 Valencia, which is kind of I've had to teach students to be intelligent. Which
you buy some lard from there?
Yes. Well, actually, here is the pirate store.
Yeah.
Here you can get pirate actual eyes. You can get eyeballs.
What?
Yes, you can get glass eyeballs
there.
That's amazing.
Yes, they have. It's a pirate shop here, and it's glass eyeballs.
Yes. You get patches, you can get shirts.
Yes. Although this came from the East Village in New York, goes to show you, but I look like a pirate. So. You also did a gig at the Getty. Don't you wish all clubs were filled with arts and art and gardens like that?
That was our first solo show after we had been on the road with Jenny for the year, and it was an amazing way to start off the year, just surrounded by amazing grounds and amazing art.
You can tell the people who work there and the people who were helping to make the show happen are art lovers, because they really did, like, when I say roll out the red carpet, like, they really did. They were just concerned and wanted to make sure we had everything we needed and were just so helpful. And that's when you feel like, okay, I'm not just entertainment. Like, I'm doing something that I'm hoping is affecting the world in some way. And that's, you know, it goes into the whole philosophical art idea of art. But it was amazing. It was amazing. And the room is amazing.
Beautiful space.
And this morning I went to Green with Glamour.
Yes.
And I was feeling a little sad because I'm not completely dressed in organic clothing today. I tried to find organic jeans before I came to this session, and I was feeling a little guilty.
No.
Levi's has organic jeans now.
I know, and they're headquartered here, so yes.
Well, you know, we're trying. It's not easy, and I feel like every little thing you can do to try to make a difference, I think it does. So if you can dress in that type of gear,
dress
then
in green and
so will they be dressing? Will they be dressing you when you win the MTV award?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope so.
You know, right now we're mostly all the way vintage as far as clothes go, because that is the thrifty way to go. So
there you go. Now, on the other side of the coin, you've had a song on Grey's Anatomy, which is the place. It used to be the OC.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you how time moves, because the OC, now they have that second soundtrack out, and those bands, you know, Flaming Lips, forget them. Who cares about them? They're not hip anymore. So you, Grey's Anatomy, I've had a few artists that have had songs on there, and that's become, you know, how to sell records in America these days, get a song placement. So what was happening while your song was playing? Was it nice and clean?
Oh my gosh,
it was a hardcore scene. One of the guys was like, one of the doctors had to tell his brothers that his dad was like dying of cancer.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really emotionally charged scene. And that song is pretty, you know.
Yeah, it's called Time of My Life. And it was, I mean, it's great because, you know, when they ask you, you know, can we use your song? You think, okay, maybe 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds over a conversation. But they actually, it was as he was like walking down the hall, was like the intro. So it was like this
used
great.
Like 2 minutes of the song.
Song, and at least I would say a minute and a half were without dialogue. So it was pretty amazing.
So the question that you asked way too much, but if I don't ask it, I'm not doing my obligatory fill in the blank word, whatever that. You're not signed yet, and I imagine a lot of record companies are knocking at your door, and I imagine you're answering very carefully.
I think, you know, it's we've been basically functioning as a label. We have a manager.
Yes.
And
a mom who's the accountant. Yes, I read.
Yeah,
and
she mails out all the CDs from our website.
Yeah, we have a strong crew of ladies that are, you know, helping us, and we're basically at this point, we've sort of created a timeline for ourselves, which we were saying, like, we're getting ready to go into the studio, and we have our own studio, luckily, so we can record the next record. And, you know, we're just waiting for that right suitor to knock on the door. We're getting to a point where we do need help, and it's getting too big for my sister and I to do
to run
ourselves.
The biz. Yeah, exactly. So. But still, why? Well, I have a few in mind, but I'll save my bets to see where you land up. I know I know a perfect one, but I'm gonna leave it alone.
Okay.
All right, email it to Lisa, our manager.
Because I will. Well, no, because I had the owner of the label, who's also an artist, on the show a while back.
And, nice.
And he's a heck of a nice guy.
Cool.
And I'd say at least 10% of what I land up playing in new music is from that label, interestingly enough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we'll have to listen to your show and figure out what it is.
Yeah, we'll start sending the playlist. And, you know, heck, when folks can get the CD, I checked it this morning, $7.98 on Amazon, or you can save 6 cents and get it for $7.92 online. You know, it's not that you don't need a record company, but, you know.
And we're on iTunes, too.
So that's what I was going to say. It's $7.92 on iTunes. So, you see, it depends if you want the hard copy. You can save 6 cents by getting it digitally. I'm not sure that's, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how the economics work there.
And we also, I have to say, too, I know you guys have a store up here in Berkeley, but Amoeba in Hollywood has been really amazing and really
I just came from
helped,
Amoeba right before I came here.
Really helped to support us down in LA and have been great just with, you know, helping an unsighted artist along. It's pretty awesome.
And I know you've been released in Australia, so yeah. The next thing to conquer, obviously, is that infamous UK, right?
Yeah, definitely.
See, how do I know that that's the next...
We're just worried. We don't want to go in any kind of Spice Girls direction, so we're trying to...
Have you prepared your NME quote?
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not yet.
You need to do something down and dirty of some sort. So
we'll
you
call
get the,
you when that
yeah,
happens.
You need something. I can help you with
a
quote.
I have a feeling, you would be...
I can come up with something. So, let's see if it... Look at that. 20 minutes. I didn't look at the clock. The interview lasts 20 minutes, and you're saying to yourself, Dennis, how do you feel... We're doing an entire hour, you should know.
Wow.
By the way, on you.
Wow.
So
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be this thing we're going to cut with the session, but there's going to be some time left because it was about 8 minutes worth of song. So, oh my gosh, what do we do with 32 minutes, you're asking? And I have the answer. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
We call it a musical sandwich. You notice I didn't ask you the influences question, and I never will in an interview because it's a waste of time, and you can join in on this. So what we do is we pick two of your songs as the bread, which we have done because you have done a session here. And then as many songs by other artists as you want in between, and I will play them precisely as you ask for them. And you get to riff it. So anything you want to play by other people to go with your music, this is how we find that bands and artists make better DJs than DJs do.
Wow.
Russell G, you got to be a part of this.
So here we go. You've got a couple of minutes to do this because it'll be remaining quiet for a few more minutes in here.
So we just have to say the different...
Any songs you want. Just kind of each of you pick songs that you want to hear with your music by anybody. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is.
I'd like to throw Vashti Bunyan Glowworms out there.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, Almost Cut My Hair.
See, she's got it. Go ahead. Keep going. This goes very fast once you got the idea.
Karen Dalton, Sweet Substitute.
Could everybody come close to the microphone for him, by the way? He's like, I'd like to play the call.
Shirley Brown, Woman to Woman.
I'm so terrible at this.
That's good.
Vetiver, Pardon to No One.
Okay, the worse you are, the better it comes out. So go ahead. We love whatever comes
to
mind.
I Know No Pardon. Vetiver, I Know No Pardon. That's what
okay.
It's called.
God, you know, if you just would have, if I could have prepared for this, because this is too intense for me. There's too many in here.
No, just pick just whatever's in your mind. Say it.
Neil Young, Cowgirl in the Sand.
Okay.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black.
Very cool. She was in this studio about 7 days ago.
Oh, nice.
That was a challenge.
I bet.
Let me tell you. You know, that famous "be careful what you ask for" phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. She's like, "What proof do I have you've played my music?" I'm like, "Would you like me to pull out the playlists?"
Bob Dylan, One More Cup of Coffee.
Millie Jackson, Caught Up.
Nice.
Smog. The Colts? What is it called? I See the Colts?
He was a great interview. We had fun with him. He was really something. He's talking about dark.
I bet.
He's a dark man.
Bonnie Prince Billy, Maundering.
We got a Nico, Margaret versus Pauline. Nico Case, I'm sorry. I should clarify which Nico.
Yes, Ms. Case. Yes. Miss Case, who does not show up with the rest of her band for interviews. I've had the new pornographers in here twice, and Nico does not show up. Does not show up for interviews.
Wow.
She just doesn't.
Diva.
I know. What can I say? And I've run into her at shows, and I'm like, why don't you show up? And she's like, because I don't want to overshadow the band. I'm like, but you do it on stage, so come on. All right, couple of more.
Gene Clark, No Other.
That's a good one. Willie Nelson, his version of The Maker.
Okay. Anybody want to do a couple of more that are going to go into that second song that we did in the session?
Second song.
You get a chance for the perfect segue.
Pull it out.
As a silence overtakes the room, the pressure is on.
Oh, man.
What about a Graham song?
I was just trying to think of one.
Oh, you can even just say track one off this Graham Parsons album and I can find it.
How about the first track off the first Judy Sill record?
Okay.
I don't know the name of that tune, but it's good.
Okay, anybody want to play Can You Top This on him?
Sure.
she loves it.
That's tough. That's actually really...
I know.
That's a really good
anybody, exercise. Okay, you can have one more. Anybody
one
else got
more.
One that's in their head? If not,
Lee Hazelwood, Last Train to Stockholm.
Nice. Nice.
That's a good call.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Now, the last thing we're going to do is an ID.
Okay.
And I don't let you do your own IDs because I write them.
Okay.
That way I have total control, but they're really, really stupid.
Awesome.
Because if they're not, we'd be wasting our time. So it's, hello, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, you see what it says. You know what it says.
Okay.
You can figure it out.
This voice might truly add an entirely new level for me.
Better for worse, this will come out every time I play one of your tunes.
How do you want to do this? Do you want to just say the whole thing?
No.
No, no, you guys should split it. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to take full responsibility and nobody gets away with
okay,
it.
Okay, so... Hello, you say hello, this is Lee, and this is, and I'll say, and this is Chandra, and we're the Watson twins.
Okay.
And then we'll each take a sentence.
Okay.
So you're going to go first after this, during our interview?
Yeah.
I love the politics of the ID, it's incredible. It's the most complicated
I know,
thing.
It is.
It's so hard. Okay, can I start now?
Ready.
Hi, this is Lee.
And this is Chandra.
We're the Watson twins. During our interview with Dennis the Menace, he discreetly suggested that his voice might truly add an entirely new level of harmony to our sound.
He even figured out the new name, the Watson Trio, or maybe even the Watson Three.
He's been so very kind to play our music on his radio shows.
So how do we politely tell him that he's just not tall enough to play with us?
There you go.